WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Early voting expanded to all 50 Chicago wards today, Monday, October 21st. And there are additional polling places available now in suburban Cook and around the collar counties. And for the first time in 8 years, Cook County voters are picking a new state's attorney. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. The incumbent, Progressive Democrat Kim Fox, announced she would not be running for re-election. And there are three candidates on the ballot hoping to replace her: Democrat Eileen O'Neill Burke, Republican Bob Fioretti, and Libertarian Andrew Charles Kapinski. We spoke with the Republican and Democratic candidates ahead of the election to hear more about their goals if they were in the position of Cook County State's Attorney. You can check out our conversation with Bob Fioretti on our podcast feed. Libertarian candidate Andrew Charles Kapinski was not able to make it to WBEZ for an interview. The Democrat running for the seat is former judge, prosecutor, and defense attorney Eileen O'Neill Burke. I sat down with her last week and asked her, why is she running to be the county's top prosecutor?
I was on the appellate court until July of 23, and I stepped down in order to run for this job. I have been on each and every side of the justice system. I've been a prosecutor, I've been a defense attorney, I've been a trial court judge, and I've been on the appellate court. I know what effective prosecution is and what it is not. What we are doing right now is not working. Chicago has the most gun violence of any other major city. Chicago alone had 764 people shot this summer. We are now seeing mass shootings on a regular basis. It used to be a mass shooting was a very rare event. It's not a rare event anymore. Every Monday we're waking up, we're seeing 25, 30, 40 people shot, and we're not shocked by those numbers. We're becoming immune to them. I don't want to be immune to them. I want to do something about it, and that's why I'm running.
What are your top priorities?
Top priorities is gun crime. So what has happened in Cook County is we have been flooded with guns, and they're not just any kind of guns. They are guns that have been equipped with a switch and an extended magazine, making it an automatic weapon. When you do that to a handgun, it makes it very difficult to control. They just spray bullets. That's why we're seeing people who have nothing to do with the dispute are getting swept up in crossfire. We're seeing these numbers every day because of the amount of these guns that are in Cook County right now. But we have a tool, and the tool is the assault weapons ban. The assault weapons ban classifies these guns with a switch and an extended magazine as a higher class of felony. It extends the term of sentence on them as well. We need to enforce the assault weapons ban.
Now, one question on the minds of many voters when picking a state's attorney is, how progressive will the candidate be if they win? How would you characterize your approach to some of those top issues that you just talked about?
So, Sasha, I'm going to approach this job the same way I approach being a judge, that I am going to follow the facts and the law. That's what's going to dictate my decision making. I don't think you should be painting judges with progressive or conservative stripes the same way you shouldn't be painting a prosecutor with that. The question should be, do you follow the law? Are you fair? Do you have good judgment? And nobody has to speculate or guess what I'm going to be like as a prosecutor, because I was evaluated by dozens of bar associations multiple times. And each and every time they found that I'm fair, I follow the law, and I have good judgment. That's exactly what we need as a prosecutor.
You expressed concern a moment ago about our city's gun violence issue. Your chief opponent, Republican Bob Fioretti, said that he will come down hard on violent criminals. Will you do the same?
So let's talk a little bit about the role of the state's attorney in, you know, anybody can say come down hard, but I want to be specific. So the Safety Act or the Pretrial Fairness Act has fundamentally changed how we approach pretrial detention. It is a seminal once in a generation piece of legislation, which fundamentally changes how we detain people pretrial. So we've all seen that prior to the Safety Act, judges would set bond. They would, the more serious the offense, the higher the bond would be. So we've all seen that if somebody was charged with murder, it'd be $1 million bond. Now under the Safety Act, we no longer look at money. Now the only criterion is, are you a danger to the public or are you not? If you are not a danger to the public, I think we can all agree that you do not need to be held in custody before you're found guilty. While at the same time, if you are a danger to the public, you shouldn't be allowed to buy your way out of jail. So I think we can all agree the Safety Act is a big step forward. But the Safety Act also changes the state's attorney's role in pretrial detention. So now, before anyone can be detained, the state's attorney needs to file a petition to detain. If the state's attorney does not file that petition, it doesn't matter if somebody's a serial killer or El Chapo. A judge has no ability to make that determination of, are you a danger to the public or are you not? A judge has to release the offender. So I don't believe in playing hide the ball. So I will tell you exactly when we will seek detention. Each and every time someone is found with a gun, with a switch and an extended magazine. Each and every time someone is found with an assault weapon. Each and every time someone commits a forcible felony with a weapon. Each and every time someone puts someone in the hospital with severe injuries based on a battery or some type of forcible felony. I also believe that in order to have a thriving city, we need to have a safe public transportation system. We do not have that right now. So each and every time someone commits a violent crime on public transportation, we will seek detention.
So a related question here. Would your office seek pretrial detention when the top charge is illegal gun possession?
If it's an assault weapon or a gun with a switch and an extended magazine, yes, we will. The law treats just possession of a handgun with no FOID card differently. It's a class 4 felony. The law says it's not as serious. If it's an assault weapon, it's a class 2 or a class 3 felony. So the law says it's much more serious. So yes, we will be treating those quite differently.
And what if there are no aggravating factors or prior gun convictions?
It does not matter. If you are carrying an assault weapon, you are a danger to the public.
What will you do if the assault weapons ban is struck down?
Well, then we will follow the law. I will continue to follow the law. If the ban is struck down, then I will not have the ability to make that argument for detention because it's a lower class of felony.
Now, Mr. Fioretti says the incumbent, Democrat Kim Fox, is too lenient. He goes as far as to say that he'd do pretty much the opposite of what Fox has done in all cases. How would you rate the last 8 years under Kim Fox?
You know, I will tell you this. The state's attorney's office has 1,300 employees. We have 5 bureaus that cover everything from real estate tax to guardianship to criminal prosecution. There is not one unit of government in Cook County that does not touch on the state's attorney's office in some way, shape, or form. I'm not going to criticize anybody's ability to do that job. I'm going to tell you how I'm going to approach the job. And the way I'm going to approach the job is there are some significant things that Kim Fox implemented that are positive. The restorative justice programs have been a seismic step forward. And I will tell you this. I've seen him work as a defense attorney. I've seen him work as a judge. The restorative justice, and people throw that term around a lot. So let me explain what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Restorative justice programs are for nonviolent offenses, and they're geared for specific types of offenders. Those who are dealing with drug addiction, those who are dealing with mental illness, veterans, sex workers. And they are a collaborative approach with the judge, the defense attorney, and the prosecutor to figure out what does this person need to get back on track. I'm a big believer in these programs because I've seen them work. Their recidivism rates or the repeat offender rates are significantly less than all other felony courtrooms. They work. They get people back on track. So not only does that make us morally better as a society, but it's fiscally better. It costs a fraction to get someone in these programs than it does to incarcerate someone. So I'm a big believer in these programs. I want to double down on them and expand where we can expand.
So one centerpiece of your campaign is something called the Choice Protection Unit. It aims to bolster reproductive rights. How would it work?
So the Choice Protection Unit is, I thought of it one night when I saw a statistic saying that we have had a 79% increase in people coming across the border into Illinois for reproductive rights in order to access abortion services. So with that increase, we will inevitably have an increase in people coming to Illinois to interfere with that right. So I started looking at what possible statutes would apply if somebody were coming here to interfere with that. And it ranges everything from picketing to noise violations to obstruction of roadways to stalking and terrorism. We've had clinics bombed in Danville and Peoria. It's not a question of if this will happen. It's a question of when it will happen, and we need to be ready for it. These aren't the kind of cases that can just land on your desk and you know what to do. So we are forming a Choice Protection Unit, which is going to be comprised of prosecutors from every different division in the office.
How many staffers or resources would you devote to
the
project?
I want somebody from each and every division. So from misdemeanors, from felony trials, we also have to have people in civil because we represent Cook County Hospital in all civil actions. And one of the techniques of the anti-choice movement right now is to sue providers for malpractice. We need to be ready for that. So it's going to be voluntary because I want people who have a fire in their belly to come into this unit. It's also going to work as a recruiting tool for state's attorneys because there's a lot of young people that want to get in on this fight. We need to make sure that we send a very loud and clear message. If you are coming here to Cook County to interfere, we will treat that very, very seriously, and we will have prosecutors who are ready to address those crimes. So our training is going to be every month we're going to get together, and we're going to have prosecutors from other jurisdictions zoom in and talk to us about what legislation is effective there. What are the techniques that you are seeing there of people interfering with reproductive rights so that we will be ready for them? That we will know what legislation do we need in order to address this? What do we need to know are the tactics so we can be better prepared as prosecutors?
If you're elected, how would your office work with Chicago Police and other police departments in the county?
So we need to have a working relationship with the police department. They are our main, if not our sole witness on each and every case. We need to have a relationship of respect and trust between us. So I have spoken to Commander Snelling, and we have many different ideas on how we can knit back our relationship. But one of the major ideas that I want to implement quickly is I want to take brand new cadets out of the academy and partner them with brand new state's attorneys and put them in a 1-week class. And during that class, we're going to cover a different topic every single day that police officers are going to see out in the street. For example, like when you stop somebody, what are the parameters of the stop? What are you allowed? What does the Constitution say? What does the statute say? How is the case law interpreted the extent of a search? When do you need a search warrant? Then the next day, we're going to cover when do you have to Mirandize someone? What makes a good statement? What's a bad statement? What taints a statement? Then the next day is going to be, how do you need to treat juveniles differently than adult offenders? What additional protections have to be in place? And then every single afternoon, we're going to have the brand new state's attorney put the brand new cadet on the stand and practice doing a direct exam or a cross exam. So my goal is twofold. Not only will we have the best trained state's attorneys on the law and the Constitution, but what if we had the best trained police on what the law says? That's a game change. And that's how we're going to address our relationship with the police.
Police accountability advocates argue that when an officer commits a crime, prosecutors face conflicts of interest because they routinely need cops to serve as witnesses, as you mentioned, and gather evidence in other criminal cases. Would you consider outsourcing the prosecution of police officer defendants to private law firms?
No, Nobody wants bad police officers, and nobody will get a free pass in the state's attorney's office. The law will be applied equally to everyone who comes in front of us, and every single state's attorney will understand that obligation and that role that we have.
So in the primary, you pulled in less than a quarter of the votes of Black Chicagoans when you were running a close race against Clayton Harris III, but performed much more strongly in majority white, Asian, and Latino wards. This month, civil rights icon Jesse Jackson threw his support behind Mr. Fioretti. What is your message right now to Black residents of Cook County, especially those who did not support you back in March?
You know, we have been going all over the county. That has been very important to me. Make sure that the community knows who I am. And with regard to Reverend Jackson, he and Bob Fioretti go back a very long time. He has supported him in every single election, including against Tony Preckwinkle. I would expect old friends to support each other. I would expect my old friends to support me. So that doesn't concern me. I do not think that's a racial issue. I think I need to be in the community and hearing what the community's concerns are. And so we are doing that. We are working very hard to make sure that we are talking to everyone in the community as often as possible.
Earlier this month, Cook County prosecutors dropped their case against Alexander Villa. He was convicted in the 2011 murder of CPD officer Clifton Lewis. Now, the decision led a judge to throw out Villa's conviction and life sentence. That means all three men charged with Lewis's killing have had their cases dismissed, and no one's being held responsible for a cop's murder. Your thoughts on that case?
I'm not going to comment on any specific case because I am going to have to be reviewing the entire case and seeing what happens.
Mr. Fioretti says that he will cooperate with ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, to, quote, remove violent, illegal alien criminals from our streets and neighborhoods. What's your response to that? And how would you characterize your approach to crimes that are committed by immigrants?
So my approach to crimes committed by immigrants are going to be the exact same approach I have for anybody who commits a crime. Anybody who commits a crime is going to be prosecuted. We have nothing to do with ICE. I'm not sure where he's getting this belief that we cooperate with ICE or don't cooperate with ICE. ICE deals with the Cook County Sheriff. The state's attorney's office doesn't have any role in that. And so anybody who commits a crime will be prosecuted. The other thing we have to look at is we have a large section of very vulnerable people who have been brought into this city. We will likely see more victimization of people. We're going to see an uptick in child sex trafficking, you know, child labor laws, wage theft. Those are going to be crimes that we go after equally virulently to any other crime. It doesn't matter if your victim is a migrant or a natural born citizen. It doesn't matter if your criminal is a migrant or a natural born citizen. The law applies equally to all of us.
The incumbent Kim Fox plans to limit prosecutions of gun cases connected to traffic stops. She says that she wants county prosecutors to reject gun and drug charges that come from police stops for minor offenses like expired plates or burnt out headlights. Your take on that?
So that contradicts decades of case law. The case law says that it's appropriate to stop for that. And, you know, I will tell you that if you cannot stop for those violations, that the likelihood of those violations will increase. That's kind of common sense. If the police can't stop you for it, why would anybody get a registration sticker? So I will follow the law. And the law says that's permissible to stop a vehicle for those types of thefts. If the allegation is that police are stopping the vehicle because it's a pretextual stop, the correct way to address that is file a motion and let's litigate that in court. And that's exactly what we'll do.
So as we wrap up here, I want you to tell us this. I mean, what would you say distinguishes you from Mr. Fioretti? What are voters getting with you that they're not getting with him?
Experience. I mean, that's an easy question, Sasha. I like to end on an easy one. The experience. I have spent the last 33 years on every side of the criminal justice system. I have been committed to making sure people get a fair shake in court for my entire career. And I will continue to do that as Cook County State's Attorney.
And let's turn now to WBEZ criminal justice editor Patrick Smith to analyze some of the statements made by Eileen O'Neill Burke. Hey again, Patrick.
Hey, Sasha.
So, Pat, we've now heard from both O'Neill Burke and her chief opponent, Republican candidate Bob Fioretti. Now, one unique idea that we heard from O'Neill Burke was about her proposed choice protection unit, which focuses on abortion rights. To your knowledge, has a county-level state's attorney ever proposed something like this before?
Not that I'm aware of. O'Neill Burke's specific policy proposal here, I haven't heard of a state's attorney or a district attorney in other states proposing a unit like this. We have seen in the wake of Roe v. Wade being struck down, prosecutors taking the lead on saying we're not going to prosecute people who are charged with certain crimes related to abortions. We've seen prosecutors be outspoken about abortion rights, but this particular policy idea, I'm not aware of any other prosecutor, you know, lead prosecutor who's proposed it.
Now, both candidates say that they will work closely with police. What did you make of the training that she described there that she wants to do to make sure that police and prosecutors stay on the same page?
You know, I thought it was intriguing. I thought the idea of teaching officers about, you know, rules of evidence, making officers better witnesses on the stand, I think people who want a functioning court system, that seems like a good thing. I am curious about why just cadets. I don't think it's just new police officers who probably could use that training. Mm-hmm. I'm also curious, you know, one thing, obviously, and Justice O'Neill Burke talked about this, police and prosecutors have to have a close working relationship. But we have also had problems in the past in Cook County when that relationship is too close. We've seen prosecutors who, at best, turned a blind eye to coercion and torture of suspects, or at worst, encouraged it. And I'm not suggesting that this program would lead that way, but there are people in Cook County who would say, we actually don't want police and prosecutors to be that cozy. They should work together. They should have a respectful working relationship, but they shouldn't be best friends and they shouldn't know each other that well, because prosecutors are in some ways supposed to be a check on detectives and other police.
O'Neill Burke's response about the policy on traffic stops is essentially the same as Fioretti's, that pretextual stops are already illegal and that this policy will harm public safety. What did you think of that, Patrick?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. And I think it's a bit of a dodge, to be honest. I mean, pretextual stops, for listeners, that's the idea that, yes, you can get pulled over for a headlight being out. But if the police are actually pulling you over because they think you have a gun or drugs, maybe because you're black or a person of color, or you're in a neighborhood that they don't think you should be in, and they're pulling you over because they suspect you have something illegal, and they say, actually, I'm pulling you over for seatbelt or something. That's a pretextual stop. That is unconstitutional. And what Justice O'Neill Burke said was, well, if police make a pretextual stop, you can challenge that in court. I think she knows that the deck is stacked against the defendant if they're trying to make that claim after the fact. And what the policy that State's Attorney Fox has put in place, it's to try to discourage officers from making that stop in the first place. If you do a pretextual stop and you get a bunch of drugs and it won't get prosecuted, that's not good for you as an officer. And so it means you're going to only make stops that are going to sort of pass muster. Now, listen, there are a lot of people who think that's a bad idea. I mean, honestly, a big crime-fighting strategy of the police department is stops. It's stopping people and searching for guns. That is a lot of what police officers do. It's a strategy that has been criticized a lot. People say, there's researchers who say it's not effective, but it is a crime-fighting strategy. And this policy makes it harder to do that. So I'm not saying that Fioretti or O'Neill Burke are wrong to be against that policy, but I did think it was interesting that they have kind of the same answer, which is sort of like, we want things to continue as they are.
That's WBEZ criminal justice editor Patrick Smith. Thank you again.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and edited by Dan Tucker. It was mixed by Micah Yasin. Don't forget, you can listen to our conversation with fellow state's attorney candidate, Republican Bob Fioretti, on our podcast feed. For ongoing coverage around the election, subscribe to our podcast and check out our entire catalog of interviews at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue, as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely.